You are listening to the Diesel Powered Podcast, the voice of Diesel Punk, brought to you by Comic Bento. Get a mystery box of comic books and graphic novels in your mailbox every month, at least $50 worth for under 20 bucks. Visit mycomicbento.com. Also brought to you by Audible. Check out a free audiobook on us at audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is the Diesel-Powered Podcast, the voice of Diesel Punk. I am your co-host, the comic book-loving, time-traveling, Diesel Punk prophet of pop culture, John Pica. Also joining me across the interwebs is the man, the myth, the legend, the professor, the Diesel Pope, the boss, Larry Amiet.
Hey, Johnny. Thanks for that. Hi, everybody.
Now you're super loud, Larry. Now we're getting feedback.
echo.
Oh, we've been doing...
Johnny. Yeah, folks, what happened is that before, during the sound check for the show, Johnny said, Larry, can you crank it up a little bit? All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Back it down just a little bit. And while he's doing that, we'll let the lovely and talented damsel of the air, Daisy O'Dare, introduce herself.
Good evening, all you sheiks and shebas. I hope this night's finding you just as good and solid as any other night.
I'm doing great. Larry's doing great. And I know, Larry, you have a sinus headache, but it's going to be gone by the time we're done with this show tonight.
Sounds good to me.
And you sound good right there. Perfect.
Thank you.
So, we're going to do something a little bit different tonight, but before we do, I don't want to forget about it. I want to just acknowledge our sponsors up front. Once again, this week, Audible is sponsoring the podcast. You can get a audiobook free on us at audibletrial.com/Diesel Powered Podcast. Check them out. And you'll definitely want to check them out after tonight's episode because we're going to be talking about Diesel Punk books. Also want to check out our other sponsor, Comic Bento. If you like graphic novels and if you like getting surprises in the mail every month, it's like a birthday every month. Check out mycomicbento.com and you can get over $50 worth of graphic novels for under 20 bucks every month. It's pretty cool, and they are a great sponsor of ours, along with Audible. Make sure you check them out, and it helps us keep the lights on and keep producing free content for you. So we're going to do something different, guys. Last episode, we put out the call to our listeners to send in some suggestions via email for some topics that they'd like to hear. And they responded, starting with, oh, what is this? This is interesting. Huh. I've got a bunch of emails all of a sudden from people that I reached out to be new sponsors of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. There's a lot of responses. We'll have to dig into that later on. I've been doing a whole marketing campaign. You guys have seen some of the results on Facebook, and there's just this whole effort underfoot. So let's just say that. But anyway, I sent out the note to folks to send us in their suggestions or questions and whatnot. And Barry Huffstedler sent us this email. Greetings. Do you all have any favorite or suggested Diesel Punk themed books that you would recommend? I enjoy the podcast. Thanks. Well, Barry, I shared your email with Daisy and Larry, and we decided to put together some of our favorite Diesel Punk books and make some suggestions for you. And boy, do we ever have some suggestions. I've got an entire bookcase full of suggestions, Larry.
Oh, yeah. And I have several.
Yeah, and stuff that... And I don't even have everything that I want. And I have some books that I can recommend that you avoid. But I think we would be remiss if we did not start off our recommendations with the really what are the two seminal Diesel Punk works out there. I'm talking, of course, about Diesel City from our buddy Stefan. It's a collection of his art, his Diesel Punk art, with a narrative, kind of a narrative through line, written by Tom Wilson. And it is, in my opinion, one of the essential Diesel Punk books. And then also, general editor Stefan is Diesel Punk, the Retro Futures of the All-American Art Deco Years. And it's very similar to Diesel City in that it's an art book, but instead of just featuring Stefan's work, Stefan and Tom Wilson went out and collected the best of the best of all of the Diesel Punk artists and compiled them into just a great, great edition. Larry, would you agree with that summation?
Oh, absolutely right. And those are very good. And Stefan's artwork is fantastic. And the way Tone brought it all together into a solid format is fantastic.
Yeah, great. And you know, those are two books that I have on my coffee table at all times. And they're just fantastic, you know, not heavy reading. It's just, you know, mostly visual. But it's a great way to spend some time looking at some great Diesel Punk artwork and really enjoying that. So I'm going to mention a couple of the books on my bookshelf. And then Larry and Daisy, I'll turn it over to you guys. One of my favorite books, I just got it a couple of months ago, actually. I guess in the fall. And it's been out for about a year, is a anthology, The Rocketeer Jetpack Adventures. And it is an anthology compiled by, who's the editor on this? Doesn't say who collected them, but we've got stories by Nancy Collins, Gregory Frost, Cody Goodfellow, Nancy Holder, Robert Hood, Nicholas Kaufman, Lisa Morton, Yvonne Navarro, Don Webb, Simon Kurt Unsworth, and illustrations by Jay Bone. Really fun short stories about our favorite Diesel Punk superhero, the Rocketeer. That's the Jetpack Adventures. You might also see it listed in some catalogs as Rocketeer Prose. You know, anytime we talk Diesel Punk books, I gotta give a nod to my publisher, Prose Press. They published my Diesel Punk novel, Tales from the Flipside, which, if you're listening, that's one I would recommend, obviously. So Barry, go out and get my book, Tales from the Flipside. But Prose Press is really, they're the leading publisher of new pulp. And we've had this conversation a lot. A lot of what we call Diesel Punk is under the larger literary umbrella of pulp. And I'm a big fan of The Adventures of Lazarus Gray. And this is by Barry Reese. They're now on volume 5 of The Adventures of Lazarus Gray. But if you want some real old-fashioned high adventure, you know, think kind of a cross between Doc Savage and James Bond, and you're halfway there with Lazarus Gray, Really, really cool stuff. Fun read. Barry Reese, Pro Se Press. And then if you're into the more serious stuff, author Adam Christopher is the author of Empire City, which or Empire State, rather, which was a great diesel punk alternate reality time travel cross dimension adventure. And he's done a sequel called Made to Kill, and it is just out a few months ago. It's about it's basically a robot noir detective story. So Made to Kill by Adam Christopher. And one last one here. There's an entire series of Indiana Jones novels. And I'm holding in my hands Indiana Jones and the Army of Dead by Steve Perry. And Barry, just for you suggesting and sending in the email asking for our suggestions for Diesel Punk books, I'm going to send you my copy of Indiana Jones and the Army of the Dead for you to enjoy. So we appreciate you contributing. And with that, Larry, those are some of my suggestions. What say you?
Oh, there are so many great, great novels. Let me mention some of my favorites. One is called The Grim Noir Chronicles. The first book is Hard Magic, and it's an alternative 1930s where magic had appeared around the end of the Civil War, and now there are a variety of magical people living among us. Some are fire starters, some control gravity, but it's set during the 1930s. It's really good. It's by Larry Correa. I highly recommend it. I also recommend Diesel Punk, an anthology, and edited by Chris Gabrich. I wrote the introduction to that. It's a very good collection of Diesel Punk short stories. Paperback, you can get it through Amazon at $15, but if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get it free as a Kindle book. Another good one, it's one of the first Diesel Punk publications, one of the first collection of short stories that had the title Diesel Punk, is the Diesel Punk E-Pulp Showcase. Four tales. Diesel Punk tells very good short stories. Dragonfly by Charles Cornell.
Our Agent Carter Roundtable co-host.
Yes, indeed. That's a must read. I think every Diesel Punk should have the Dragonfly series in their library. Fantastic book. Fantastic series overall. Of course, there's the Ice War, written by one of the founding fathers of Diesel Punk, Anders Blitz. That's a very good book. Another one is A Fistful of Nothing by Dan Glazer.
Who we've had on the program.
Yes, we have. Very good book. And that's... and of course, the last one comes I want to mention is Fatherland. But one of the early Diesel Punk novels by Robert Harris. And it was made into a very popular movie, and it's set in an alternative history where Germany, they didn't actually win the war, but they fought to a stalemate with the Allies. And it takes place in the 1960s in an alternative Germany where Germany had won Europe, although they didn't win the war out yet. They were having the Cold War was not between the U.S., and Russia, but between U.S. and Nazi Germany. And those are my recommendations.
Well, that is that's very cool. And, you know, Fatherland, when you mentioned that, I immediately thought of Man in the High Castle.
That's a very good point. Yeah, they're kind of in the same theme.
Daisy, what do you got?
Well, to be honest, I haven't read much in the way of Dieselpunk books, so I've been taking notes as you guys have been talking, but there's a couple that I can talk about here. One I reviewed on the show sometime last year. I kind of took some pride in the fact that I'd found something Dieselpunk before either of you had found it. It's a book called V.S. Day by Alan Steele. And basically, it's an alternate history novel rooted in actual historical possibility where it takes actual historical figures and puts them in this alternate universe where the race to space, instead of happening in the 50s and the 60s, it happens in the early days of World War II.
Hmm.
So they're both Nazi Germany and America are working on building rockets to get to space. And me, I kind of like space and things like that. And I thought, well, two great things that go great together. Diesel era and space. Awesome. And it's a really good read, especially if you're interested in the developments of different... all the projects, those secret weird projects that both sides were working on during World War II. If you're interested in stuff like that. And it has a lot of real historical people like Wernher von Braun and Robert Oppenheimer and all them as characters. Robert Goddard, sorry. No, wrong Robert.
What was the name of that again?
It was called V.S. Day.
D.S. as in Sam?
V as in Victor. S. Day.
Oh,
like,
V-S
you know,
Day.
Like you have V.E. Day, victory in Europe. V.J. Day, victory in Japan. V.S. Day, victory in space.
Ah, very cool. Okay, I'll check that out.
Well, speaking of World War II alternative mm-hmm. history, Seth Graham Smith wrote a sequel to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter called The Last American Vampire.
Right.
And, Larry, you've mentioned a couple of times that those southern vampires from America retreated to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And... this takes place at the end of World War II.
Right.
So, follow up to that. And I would be remiss if I did not mention another one of our guests from the show, Bard Constantine, and his novel, The Troubleshooter. And we had on last year talking about that book.
Indeed. I'm glad you mentioned that.
And there's a lot more out there, guys. That's right. Just kind of the tip of the iceberg.
Oh,
I've
absolutely.
Got a couple of pro se pulp stories that every time I meet Tommy, he ends up selling me a book or two. So I haven't gotten around to them yet. But I'm looking forward to this one called The Dark Leopard in particular.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
She is a female pulp hero who is a... she is a movie star, and she's also a secret detective sort of heroine called the Dark Leopard. So, kind of ties in with what we've been seeing in Agent Carter.
Sounds interesting.
Well, hey, and Bard Constantine just posted a link to another book that he's into. It's not his book. It's by Jack Connor. It's called City of Shadows. And... it looks kind of like a dieselpunk movie monster type story.
Oh, and don't forget, and Bard Constantine is a very good writer himself.
Oh, absolutely. The Troubleshooter is his series. And,
The Troubleshooter, and he's out with more than just that. It's very good.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and... he's promised me he'll come on the show to pitch his next project. He just released a short story in the Troubleshooter series called Little White Bird. So all of these books, though, that we're talking about, most of them, many of them, are available as audiobooks. And you can, of course, get them at Amazon.com or iTunes, or from our sponsor that we talked about at the top of the show, Audible. A lot of these books, including my book, Tales from the Flipside, is available as an audiobook from audible.com. There's over 100,000 titles. I would recommend, though, Larry, that if you get a free book from Audible, that you not get Hard Magic by Larry Correa, because the Audible version, like, I almost wrecked because it put me to sleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the narrator. It has nothing to do with the book's content. The narrator was just not the right choice.
Gotcha, that's good to know.
That's the only one I would not recommend. I would recommend any of the others that we've mentioned.
But you'd recommend the book itself.
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah, yeah. And really, they're kind of a seminal... His series is kind of a seminal diesel punk series. Also from George Mann, Ghosts of Manhattan and Ghosts of War. There's all kinds of good stuff out there. But Audible, you can pick a free one on us at audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast, and it's yours to keep, whether you remain a member or not. If you do remain a member, I think it's like $14.99 a month, and you get a free audiobook every month, plus discounts on anything else that you purchase. And it's a great way to build a diesel punk library that you can listen to, you know, at work, on your drive, however you want. And the first one's free on us, audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. How's that for a segue?
There you go. Very, very good.
So, Larry, before we get to our main topic tonight, you wanted to talk about a movie that you just saw.
Yeah, I just finished I finished it literally about 15 minutes before we started recording. It's brand new. Well, relatively brand new. I saw it on Netflix. And it is it came out 2015, I think June, according to what I've done in my research. So it seemed to go straight to DVD, one of those straight to DVD movies, called Flight World War II. And in a nutshell, what it involves is this this airliner, modern day airliner, flying to London, suddenly encounters this weird storm, and the next thing they know, after passing through it, they come out in over France in 1940. It was obviously not high budget, a very independent little movie, but you know, it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. The lead is who are fans of Warehouse 13 would recognize him, Farhan Tahir, I think I'm saying his name right. He was one of the trustees in Warehouse 13. He plays Captain William Strong in the movie. A very good actor. Very good actor. The acting's good. He's a very strong character. And I enjoyed it. My first thought is early on, I thought, oh no, they've messed up the history. But that suddenly makes sense as you watch the movie. It's quite good and ended up having a little twist at the end that I didn't expect. I do recommend it. If you have Netflix, it is on Netflix. I would imagine you can get it on DVD as well. And so I recommend it. It's Flight World War II.
Well, while we're talking about diesel punk movies, I discovered one 2 weeks ago on Hulu called It Came From Yesterday. And if you guys have been listening to the show, you know that I had a chance to sit down with the director, the writer, and the star of the movie, Jeff Waltrowski. We posted that earlier this week on Monday, I think it was, as a microcast. You can listen to that. And it's an independent movie, shot in the same kind of style as Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, and it's got some Indiana Jones and Rocketeer tropes and references. And you know, an independent film, took them several years to film it and edit it. It's on Hulu for free, and you can watch it on Hulu on the free version of Hulu, you don't have to be a subscriber. Just go to Hulu.com on your computer or your tablet or whatever, and you can watch it without even being a Hulu subscriber. So it came from tomorrow, or it came from yesterday. You might want to check it out. It's campy, and Jeff admitted in the interview that he wanted it to be really cheesy, bad acting, to have a specific feel for the original serials from the era, and it does. He accomplished everything he wanted to, and you should check that out. So, Daisy, you seen any good movies lately?
Not any good movies, but I've been working on a topic that we don't talk about that much on the podcast. I've been watching a lot of anime lately, and I've been trying to find some Dieselpunk related anime, and I found this one series on Hulu a few weeks ago, but it looks like it's been taken off, so I don't know where I'm going to go see it, but it's where did it go? It's a series called Bacano. And basically, it's set during the Prohibition era, but there's time travel, there's magic, there's gangsters, there's terrorists, there's all kinds of elements of Pulp Fiction that comes together, and there's alchemy. It looks like it's going to be absolutely up my alley, and of course I can't find it anywhere now.
What's it called again?
Bacano, I think, or Bacano, B-A-C-C-A-N-O. It's also a book.
Oh. Okay.
But it was on Hulu up till a couple of weeks ago, and now I can't find it. But I've also been watching another one that's often listed under Dieselpunk. A friend of mine recommended Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, that's pretty good. My North Texas Dieselpunk site mm-hmm. has a page of Dieselpunk anime.
Yeah, animas are something else.
Anima? Yes, it is. Anima. Dieselpunk anime, we have a whole page on it of recommendations, and you're right. Full Metal Alchemist is one of the recommendations.
And I can see how, because watching it, I'm seeing both elements of Dieselpunk and what they call magitech. So it's like magic and real-world technology kind of coming together. And I think some of the real Dieselpunk aspects to it would be the technology that is used and just the way and just the military that's kind of seems to be in charge of a lot of things. They have this very diesel air about them. I don't know. It's hard to define, but I would recommend that. And some of the Studio Ghibli movies are anime, including one I've been wanting to see, Porco Rosso. I don't know. Have either of you seen that?
I know of it. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Well,
I have not.
It's a movie about a flying pig. Literally, he flies around in an airplane.
That is right up your alley.
Well, and also they also mentioned Howl's Moving Castle and Kiki's Delivery Service, which I've seen both of those, and I absolutely love those. So I'm going to keep my eye out. It's a little harder to find Dieselpunk in anime and manga, but like we were going to talk about, I'd like to see versions of Dieselpunk done by cultures other than ours. What do you think?
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. And what's interesting,
I gave you that segue.
Well, well, before we get there though, we're not there yet. But we're almost there. Before we get there, what's interesting about that is the Japanese and the Chinese both, which is where a lot of anime comes from, obviously. There is a lot of diesel era inspired aesthetics, a lot of diesel punk aesthetics in their pop culture in general. And they're one of the communities, I think, Larry, you might agree, that have really kept a lot of the aesthetics of the diesel era alive.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And you see it in, you know, series like the animes that you're talking about. And then you see it in the Asian cultured inspired Legend of Korra, mm-hmm. Which is an American anime. It's an American studio, but it has that, you know, obviously it's appealing to those traditional anime fans. And Legend of Korra is total diesel punk. And just really, really cool aesthetics. And there's even a book out that I would recommend called The Art of the Legend of Korra. Big, big, big coffee table book. But Daisy, I'm curious. Have you seen War of the Worlds Goliath?
I have not. What is that?
All right. So Larry and I have differing opinions about this movie.
Yep, very much so.
I loved it, Larry not so much. And it's basically, what it is War of the Worlds, 1914. The Martians have come back, and their second invasion, it's the second invasion, interrupts the start of World War I. Between the first time they came to Earth in the late 1800s, I think it was 1899 and 1914. In that time between, the armies of Earth have created a common standing army and like a global defense system led by Theodore Roosevelt, Nikola Tesla, and they've got the the carriers, the skyships, the fighter carriers. What do you call them? Aircraft carriers. Oh my gosh!
I'm sorry. I was trying to understand where you were going with that. Okay.
They've got the skybound aircraft carriers, souped up diesel powered biplanes. And they've got these giant tripod mechas, these armored walking tanks to fight the invading Martian army. And I think it's brilliant. I love it. The animation is very much like a DC Comics animated movie that you would see today. It came out a few years ago. Joe Pearson is the director and producer of it, and he's been posting some stuff on Goliath here recently because they're getting ready to release the 3D version on Blu-ray. But I love it. Larry, you not so much.
No. Thinking back to when I watched it, I'm a big War of the Worlds fan, so I was really fired up when I got it, and I'd been following its development. It's an indie production, which is always nice, and I thought the artwork, the mecha, looked really cool. And when it came in, I thought, but the human figures, the bodies of the characters in the movie, I don't think somebody went to an anime class in college.
But they're on par with the DC animated movies. That's how the DC animated movies look.
I'm not a DC fan.
Well, no, I know.
I'm a Marvel fan.
But they're popular. It's a popular style.
I know they are. But I thought, even by DC standards, I thought they looked almost freakishly bizarre, the bodies of the anime. And the insides of the mecha didn't look to me proportional. It was almost like a tortoise. You know, it was bigger on the inside than on the outside. Maybe it was. It was one that was, it was a disappointment. And maybe my expectations were too high. I don't know. But it was okay. I like you correctly pointed out, I didn't like it as much as you did.
Well, Daisy, you get to be the tiebreaker. It is on Netflix, and I believe it's on Hulu as well. So, War of the Worlds, Goliath.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it, so I'll check it out.
Yeah, you need to check it out. I think you might like it, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I want to hear your review. That should be I look forward to it.
So, one last thing here as we dive into our main topic tonight, again, prompted by a listener email. I think it's important. We've been talking about, you know, Dieselpunk anime. We've been talking about Dieselpunk novels. And, you know, I think, Larry, it's always important for us to reiterate what it is we mean when we say Dieselpunk. We have new listeners every episode, and they may be discovering Dieselpunk for the first time. So what is the elevator pitch for Dieselpunk?
Okay, the elevator pitch. There's two versions I guess I could give. Let me give the simple one like you just said, and if you want me to, I'll give a more academic one. Dieselpunk is a style and a subculture that combines the spirit of the 20s, 30s, and 40s with modern sensibility. That's it in a nutshell. Sometimes the best way I can describe it is to give examples. Indiana Jones. The play and the movie Chicago. If you've seen Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. Those are some of the best examples of Dieselpunk. That's how I would explain it.
In the academic definition?
Okay, I have that at the Dieselpunk Encyclopedia. Let me read it. Dieselpunk is a style and a budding subculture that combines the zeitgeist of the interbellum period through World War II and ending before or at the early 1950s with postmodern sensibilities from a countercultural viewpoint.
Well, there you have it. That's the
academic. All those 10-cent words to me kind of makes it the academic definition.
Yeah, and I always tell people Dieselpunk kind of asks, what if? Mm-hmm. You know, and I read somewhere today, as a matter of fact, that Dieselpunk can be defined as the future, the way the greatest generation imagined it.
Ooh, that's intriguing.
That's kind of a cool, yeah. I always like to say it's... the future of tomorrow seen through yesterday's eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's the way I often describe it, is how they saw the future back then.
You know, here's what Tom Wilson, one of the founding fathers, describes it at dieselpunks.org. Dieselpunk is an art style that blends the spirit of the 1920s through 50s with contemporary technology and attitude.
And all of those definitions are absolutely 100% correct. So you can kind of pick and choose what you want to use. I just rhymed. I'm a poet and didn't know it.
There you go.
So there you guys have it. That's kind of how we view Dieselpunk. And, you know, Larry, we've kind of said over and over that some of the hallmarks are that it's contemporary, you know, created since the end of the era, and for argument's sake, we'll say 1945, that it's got what we call decadence, the aesthetics of the era of the 20s through the 40s, and it's got some element of sci-fi fantasy, and of course, it's got the overall umbrella of punk, kind of the countercultural attitude, the countercultural celebration of the countercultural heroes and tropes and whatnot. So that's, for us, what makes it Dieselpunk. Did I get it right?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
What do you think, Daisy?
I say we got it. I'm here.
All right. Well, hey, we got another email from Stephen Lopez. He says, greetings. I'm a recent fan of your show. Love the genre. I was wondering, Have any of you ever read or know of any diesel punk novels, stories that take place in Russia? It would be nice to see during the diesel punk era how the other half lived, so to speak. Keep up the great free entertainment, Stephen. And, you know, some of the books that we mentioned may or may not have Russian elements. Daisy, you found a mockumentary that you were talking about.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Take it away.
While I was looking around to see if I could find anything on the on Diesel Punk in Russia, I happened to be on the Diesel Punk site on TV Tropes, and I found a film with a title I'm not going to try to pronounce because I can't speak Russian, but the title translates to First on the Moon. And it's a mockumentary about a secret Soviet space program that did a flight to the moon in 1938.
That sounds fantastic.
I've got to see this!
Yeah. It's not on anything streaming. I've checked. So we'll have to track that down somewhere.
We have got to find that.
It's called First
on the Moon, and it's from, I think, 2005. It features many elements of style of early USSR. You've got the parades, the propaganda, the ideals of world revolution and communist utopias, and of course, you know, people watching you everywhere you go, and people who disagree disappearing. But, you know, you win some, you lose some.
We've got to find that movie. So
I've got to find that movie, too.
So, Larry, it was interesting that, you know, Stephen asked us this question, because it occurred to me all of a sudden that we've really not talked about Russian diesel punk very much on the show. We've kind of mentioned it in passing, but after his question, I started doing a search for Russian diesel punk, and I was reminded a couple of things. One, there is a very vibrant diesel punk community. I say community in the larger sense in Russia. They are kind of, you know, it's not just a subculture for them. Diesel punk is very mainstream over there. It's in Russia how steampunk is kind of perceived here.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, and it is kind of weird that, because you just pointed out it's so popular over there. And in addition, really, diesel punk originated in Russia.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, they are really, they really produced the lion's share of the popular diesel punk art. You know, we were talking about that in Stefan's books, but when you start doing a search for Russian diesel punk, use that as your search term, you will find that about 60% of all of the diesel punk art and photography that we have seen over and over and point to as examples is produced by Russian artists.
That's a good point. You know, I never really put that together, but now that you mention it, yeah, you're right.
And you have an entire article about Russian diesel punk on the Diesel Punk Encyclopedia.
I do. It's actually written by Lord K., one of the founding fathers. He brought over, really, diesel punk from Russia to the U.S., to the Western world. It's in an article that was originally published in the Gatehouse Gazette back in September 2011, titled Half Full, Half Empty, Russian Diesel Punk. Would you like me to go into any kind of details from the article?
I would love for you to do that.
Okay, I didn't know. I don't want to read it.
What?
It's a good reading unto itself.
Yeah, just you don't read the whole thing. I mean, summarize it. Give us the high points.
In a nutshell, it goes back to another one of the founding fathers, Mikhail Popov, who wrote an article in SF and Fantasy World Monthly back in December 2004, and it promoted diesel punk as a genre to the Russian people. And it had everything we would recognize as diesel punk to it. weapon geeks, noir freaks, retro futurist art, and the Russians really went with it. They really picked it up and ran with it. And they got into swing music, anime fans, cosplayers. They really took off. They had a very popular website. It's still up and going. Dieselpunk LJ community is still up and going. According to the article, it's not as cohesive as a group as they used to be. They started to fragment after a point. Some moved on to other stuff, and you know how any community kind of goes. But they're still popular and strong, and you'll still find, like you said, a lot of Dieselpunk art. I know of at least one Dieselpunk anime that I can recommend. Russian Dieselpunk anime. And, so yeah, check it out. It's at my, at the Dieselpunk Encyclopedia. The title of the article is Half Full, Half Empty, Russian Dieselpunk.
Well, that's very cool. And, you know, I've been looking for it and I've not been able to find it, but, when we started doing the Diesel Powered podcast over 4 years ago now, Larry.
Wow.
We were the only English Diesel Punk podcast, and we still are. But we were one of only three Diesel Punk podcasts in the entire world. One of them is Radio Metronomic in, is that Argentina?
I believe so.
Spanish language podcast. And the other one was a Russian podcast, a Russian Dieselpunk podcast. And, you know, I cannot find it anywhere now. So if there's anyone out there who is familiar with that Russian podcast, let us know if they're still up and going, or remind us what the name is, because doggone it, I can't find it, Larry.
And, you know, I've never listened to it.
Well, it's in Russia.
Not in any of my links. Well, I tried to listen to Retro Metronomic. I never can say it. I tried to listen to what I can of the various productions. But, you know, that one I don't even recall.
Yeah, I remember finding it a couple of weeks after we had started. I never listened to it either because even though my family is from Russia, I don't speak Russian, so, you know, I wouldn't have been able to understand it. Well, and that's another link to Russian Dieselpunk. My great-grandparents are from Russia, and, you know, so I have natural ties. I'll tell you one Russian Dieselpunk movie that you don't want to watch is Frankenstein's Army.
Oh, yeah, I remember the review about that one.
Gosh, that's an awful movie. Oh, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It is Russian, it is Dieselpunk, and it's
not,
really
it's
bad.
Not good.
No, really
but,
bad.
But, you know, speaking of something good, though, Daisy brought up anime earlier, and I mentioned about there being Russian Dieselpunk anime, and there is, and it's very good. It's called First Squad, and it's a joint animation project between a Japanese studio and a Russian. Japan's Studio 4C and Russia's Molot Entertainment. And it's set during World War II, and it involves during the war between the Nazis and the Soviets. And, of course, like so much anime, it throws in occult and sword fighting and all the good stuff you expect to see in an anime. It's beautiful artwork, good creative story, good characters. I do recommend it. It's just the opposite of Frankenstein's Army. It's a very good movie. It's called First Squad.
And... did you say where we can find that? Is that on Netflix or Hulu anywhere?
I haven't looked on Netflix. I own a copy of it. So I haven't looked on Netflix or Hulu. I will get with you here in a few moments and see what I find.
Cool. And I'm going to make a note of that for myself because I want to check that out. First Squad. So there you have it, Steven. Some of the Russian diesel punk that we found. I'm sure there's a lot more. And if you go to dieselpunks.org, dieselpunks.org, or on Facebook, join the group Diesel Punk HQ. And the team there, they've already been posting some suggestions since I asked the question earlier today. Hey, let us know about any Russian diesel punk that we might not know about. And they've already posted some links to some different personalities, artists, and whatnot. And that's a both of those are just great resources. And Diesel Punk HQ, I'm active there. Charles Cornell is active. Larry, you post there from time to time. Daisy, I've seen you chime in. And it's just a great place to interact with the really the worldwide diesel punk community on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook groups, before we leave, I belong to a lot of diesel punk Facebook groups, but because I was searching for Russian diesel punk, I was looking to see if the podcast that I mentioned had a Facebook page. And there is a Slovakian diesel punk group called Podprotosky. I can't pronounce it. Anyway, but I hadn't looked for new diesel punk groups on Facebook in a long time. And I swear to you, I found 100 new ones that I didn't know existed. I joined them all. So if you're out there and you're listening to the podcast and you've got a Facebook group or if you've got a web page or if you're hosting an event, let us know. We'll mention it here on the podcast. We'll talk about it. We'll give you props. We'll post your link on our Facebook page. I just posted a link today, guys, to the best electro swing parties in the nation on our Facebook page. So anyone who's interested in going to an electro swing dance party, all of the best ones in the country are listed on a link on our Facebook page.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hey, before we go, let me mention about that one movie that we all said sounded so cool about it had to do with first on the moon.
Yes.
Yeah. And we couldn't find it. I think I just found it on YouTube.
Really?
I think I just found it on YouTube. Yeah. No, I don't know if it's a full-length thing. It looks like maybe it's just a snippet of it. It's just a snippet.
Well,
darn
that's
it.
A start.
I was hoping it was a full thing, but it's not. It's like only a minute.
Well, I would recommend also people obviously look on eBay, but if you're not familiar with Half.com, check out Half.com. Larry, have you ever been to this site?
What's it called again?
Half, H-L-F, H-A-L-F, Half, .com. It is a discount music, book, and video site where you literally, Larry, I got the Shadow DVD for 75 cents.
Oh, cool.
Be careful, though, because you'll go crazy spending. You'll be like, oh, a dollar here, $2 there. Oh, that one's only 50 cents. And the next thing you know, you've spent, $200. But great site, half.com. Check it out.
I will.
Well, before we go, I want to remind everyone that next week we will have the final Agent Carter Roundtable, declassifying the finale episode that was just last night. And you'll want to tune into that. We took a break this week so that Larry could join us and we could talk some listener email. And Charles Cornell is moving from Florida, Michigan. And Ken Sharkey Braden is on his honeymoon at Wild West Con as a correspondent for the Diesel Powered Podcast. And if you follow us on Twitter, he is going to be broadcasting live from the convention floor via Periscope through our Twitter feed. So if you follow us on Twitter at Diesel Podcast, you can see Ken and his lovely bride Erin covering Wild West Con on behalf of the Diesel Powered Podcast this week, exclusively through Twitter, Diesel Pod, at Diesel Podcast. How cool is that?
Very cool.
And nice. Next week we'll be recording our final Agent Carter roundtable. Larry, have you been watching Agent Carter this season?
I have. I'm like one or two episodes behind, but I've been watching. It's been great. I like it more than I did the first season.
I think that's our general consensus too. Would you agree, Daisy?
Oh yeah, I would say so myself. I've been enjoying it.
You want to join us for the finale roundtable?
Hey, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, we'll all be together, one big happy family. It'll Woo-hoo. Be awesome. So we'll do that next Thursday at 8 Central, and that'll be up Thursday night after we finish, so you guys can anticipate that and be ready for that. Well, you guys got any last comments before we sign off tonight?
I can't think. This has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the topic a lot.
Yeah, and for those of you listening, you know, send us your topic suggestions. We would love to hear from you, and we take your suggestions. We'll do the research for you, and we'll come back with what we find.
Yeah, I had a great time with this kind of format here.
Well, excellent. We'll do more of it. So send us your email at feedback@dieselpoweredpodcast, and we'll read it live on air, and you might get a shout out, you might get a prize. You never know what might happen. Well, guys, I think that's it for tonight.
It's been fun.
Larry, sign us off.
Okay. Well, tell you what, weather's starting to change. I don't know about up there in Tennessee, Johnny and Daisy.
Cold and rainy.
It's cold and rainy. Well, it's springtime in Texas. And so, you know, take care of each other, because that's what life is all about.
Miss Daisy?
Well, it has been lovely chatting with you gentlemen tonight, and I know I'll be seeing, hearing from you again next week on the Diesel Powered Podcast, and then in 2 weeks, I'm actually going to get to see Johnny face-to-face again.
That's right! At Mid-South Con. And
yes.
I almost forgot. Thank you for reminding me, Daisy. You and I are going to be face-to-face again. We're both official guests of the con. You're doing some panels. I'm doing some panels. And you're going to be there not just with me, but with the Clockwork Mechanalists.
Yep, that's right.
And Saturday night.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Lay it on me.
Well, you've been getting ready, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be performing with me again on the Masquerade.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be a real swing-a-dinger.
It is. It is. Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens, and that includes Daisy O'Dare. She is an official Bombshell Kitten. And
oh, jeez.
Cherry Jubilee from Chicago will be down performing with us. She'll be doing some aerial acts and sideshow acts. And Scarlett Riviere from Memphis will be singing with us. So it's going to be fun. Magic, music, and sideshow in a diesel punk aesthetic. How cool can that get? I mean,
can't get much cooler.
No. Get your tickets at MidSouthCon or MidSouth.org. MidSouthCon.org. Golly. Oh, it's getting late. All right. Well, Daisy, you want to say goodnight, too?
Well, good night. Good night. And may I, everybody, have a good week till we meet again.
Very good. And as always, this is Johnny, Big Daddy Cool, John Pica saying swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.